Public radio is here for you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how big your home is, or what kind of car you drive. WOSU and NPR connect you to news and information in civil conversations. That's why 43 million Americans listen to NPR each week. WOSU is part of our community, covering and discussing issues important to you, standing with the facts. Meet the moment with WOSU. Go to WOSU.org/protect.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Volunteers in Service to America, better known as VISTA, was created in 1964 to help fight poverty throughout the United States. The program became AmeriCorps in 1993, also known as the Corporation for National and Community Service. It recently became the latest organization to experience cuts to its federal funding, and some federal employees with the agency have been placed on administrative leave. We're talking about the history and work of VISTA and AmeriCorps this hour, while the programs face an uncertain future. Joining us now is Tina Dumphy, a national service consultant, and she is also the former director of AmeriCorps in Ohio. Welcome to All Sides, Tina. Oh, you're on mute, Tina. Sorry about that. Can you unmute there?
Yeah, I sure can.
Okay, welcome
Sorry
to All
Sides.
Yeah, welcome to All Sides, Tina.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's really great to be with you today.
Okay, so before we get into the funding cuts, which we will, I wanted to get some background. We know it as AmeriCorps today, but it started as VISTA. How did VISTA begin? Can you tell us some of that history?
I sure can. And actually, there's a little bit of a nuance between AmeriCorps and VISTA itself, mm-hmm. because VISTA is a program under the AmeriCorps umbrella. But, you know, VISTA started as an outcropping do what you can for your country, that President Kennedy called people to action for, when he created Peace Corps. And so his dream was to create a domestic version of the Peace Corps. And he wasn't able to do that during his administration, but President Johnson then created that when he created the Office of Economic Opportunity in 1964. And so VISTA became kind of the domestic version of the Peace Corps. And we are celebrating the 60th anniversary of VISTA this year. And, you know, over the years, other national service programs have grown out of that, commitment to service and government support for communities and young people, not necessarily all of them are young, but people really contributing back to their communities. So it started in 64. President Johnson swore in the first 20 volunteers in 1965. And they were then sent to communities where they worked on poverty-related issues, because VISTA is specifically designed to combat poverty, bring people up out of poverty, and create sustainable community solutions where they are placed.
Okay. And I mean, I said, VISTA became AmeriCorps in 1993. I know it's more nuanced than that, but can you tell us a few of the similarities, differences with VISTA and AmeriCorps?
I sure can. So, as I said, so VISTA came out of the Office of Economic Opportunity back in the 60s, and then that office eventually morphed into ACTION. And there were additional poverty-related programs that were covered by ACTION. And then in 1990, the Community Service Act was passed. And in 1993, AmeriCorps was created as a federal agency. It is an independent federal agency. And actually, their official name is the Corporation for National and Community Service. They are now doing business as AmeriCorps, kind of its best known program. So under the corporation's purview are AmeriCorps programs, which include AmeriCorps State and National, AmeriCorps VISTA, and AmeriCorps NCCC. And then there's a cohort of three senior corps programs, which engage seniors in volunteer service to their communities as well.
We'll get into a few of those AmeriCorps programs in just a moment, but I wanted to, in the intro before the NPR newscast, I said that VISTA was once promoted as the toughest job you'll ever love.
And I kind of love that phrase. I mean, it might not be the best way to recruit people if it's a tough job, but the toughest job you'll ever love. Can you talk about that and what that meant to people who were in the program?
I sure can. When President Johnson addressed the first cohort of VISTA members, he'd indicated that, their pay would be low, their work would be tough, but it would be the best job that they ever had because they would be contributing to a national effort to give back to their communities. And so VISTA members in the early days were sent to communities and basically told to do good works. They lived among their community members. So they weren't necessarily like they are today, recruited maybe locally, and sent specifically particular project. The process is completely different now. So they may have been sent to West Virginia, and then they worked with the community to determine what were the most important and critical needs that needed to be addressed, and then they would work on those. So it was a very grassroots effort to solve those issues of poverty. So,
yeah, and just looking at the AmeriCorps website, that it does so much. I saw that there are six core areas: disaster service, economic opportunity, education, environmental stewardship, healthy futures, and then veterans and military families. I've heard of AmeriCorps in certain of these areas, but I guess, I had no idea that it was so broad. Did all of those areas, those six areas, were they there from the beginning, or did it grow over time?
It grew over time. Those were actually an outcropping of the 1993 National Community and Service Trust Act that created AmeriCorps. So VISTA initially was focused only on poverty. Mm-hmm. And so some of those senior corps programs also that create, that came out of OEO and ACTION were also focused on poverty. So those additional focus areas, as we called them, really came about as the agency and as Congress figured out that, there are more needs out there in communities than just poverty. And so, we wanted to deploy resources to communities to address those, what we call critical community needs.
And the part of it is the National Disaster Response Program. Is it a group that goes in when a natural disaster happens, or are they like on standby, or is it just the natural disaster has already happened and they're going in like after the fact?
Yeah. So the program that is primarily responsible for that, and they actually have an agreement with FEMA, is the NCCC program, the National Civilian Community Corps. And that was kind of created based on the old CCC program from the 30s. Mm. So these are young people, 18 to 24. They live on four campuses across the United States. And some of them are dedicated specifically to disaster, either preparedness, a lot of it is mitigation, and a lot of it is response. So there were, NCCC members in New Orleans. I think there still are members down there post-Katrina, 20 years later. Hmm. Hurricane Harvey, the tornadoes recently in North Carolina, and a lot of flooding areas. So they go in and do mucking. They help people get access to FEMA benefits. So they do a wide variety of things. So that's not that other AmeriCorps programs don't assist in disasters, but that's really kind of the focal point.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jarevich. And this hour, we're talking about AmeriCorps, one of the latest organizations to see federal funding cuts. We're learning about the goals of the organization right now with Tina Dumphy, a national service consultant, and she's also the former director of AmeriCorps in Ohio. Now, the organizations are made up of volunteers, or are they called members, or are they employees? What word do you use here?
Really good question, Amy. So if you are a senior corps volunteer, which is part of the AmeriCorps umbrella, we call them volunteers. If you are serving in NCCC, VISTA, or an AmeriCorps program, you are called a member or a participant. So, and that's really to distinguish between, on the AmeriCorps side, because they do get paid a living allowance, we call it. It's not a wage. It's not based on minimum wage rates. So, but they also get additional benefits while they're serving. But it's really to separate the fact that these are not employees, that these are really people who are sacrificing, you know, a significant amount of their time to dedicate to their community and improving things. So it's been a real privilege of my life to be engaged with these folks.
Now, they don't get paid, as you said, but they get like a stipend for living. And then some of the benefits are education benefits, though. They work toward, is it a scholarship for future higher education?
That's really, you almost hit it on the nose. It's called an education award.
Yeah.
And folks, so they do get their living allowance. And, you know, that depends on the kind of term that they're in. They get childcare, they get healthcare. If they need it, if they're eligible, and then they earn an education award that they can use to either pay off student loans, qualified student loans, or use toward future tuition. And right now, the last year, that living, or I'm sorry, the education award has been worth about $7,400. So it's quite a nice carrot at the end of a somewhat long stick, you know, of a term of service. So.
And I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned the senior programs where they're still called volunteers. AmeriCorps seems to be something for young people to get involved in, but I saw the senior programs on the website, and I had no idea AmeriCorps was behind. I've heard of the foster grandparent program, but I didn't realize that came out of there. Can you tell me about the senior programs?
I sure can. And just to clarify, so the only AmeriCorps program that has an upper age limit is NCCC, and that's 24. We've had VISTA members and AmeriCorps members who serve, you know, even after they have retired and they want to do something, get back to their community. But senior corps programs, you have to be at least 55 years old. There are two stipended programs. That's the foster grandparent program, as you mentioned, and the senior companion program. Those volunteers get a $4 an hour stipend. So it's not much, but it helps them, you know, helps them stretch their money from month to month. And so the foster grandparent program engages primarily women. I mean, that's who populates most of the national service programs, which is probably another whole conversation. But they are people who go into schools or into Head Starts or into daycare centers and do one-on-one tutoring or mentoring with young people. So that's kind of the essence of the foster grandparent program. And then the senior companion program are seniors who serve other seniors who are living at home, primarily trying to live independently. So it kind of delays or mitigates their entry into nursing homes or long-term care. So, and then there's the RSVP program. Those volunteers are truly volunteers in the classical sense. They don't get paid a stipend, and they do a wide variety of things. They may be out tutoring children. They might be, you know, helping beautify their communities. So the difference is the foster grandparents and the senior companions commit to a certain number of hours, and RSVP volunteers, it's a little more flexible.
Okay. Putting the senior program aside for a second, I am going to back up to what you said about people who apply. It is mostly women who are in it, or is it just a majority, people who are involved in the projects?
It is a majority. And that's historically been true. On the VISTA side of things, it's historically been women, and they typically have a college education. I mean, these are, you know, I don't have the data in front of me, but I do know that, and I think it's an outcropping of just kind of the history of women in service. You know, we've had more time, and that's kind of been a legacy for us. But I would, and I know for certain, and the senior corps programs, they are primarily women. And for AmeriCorps State National, and NCCC, I'm not quite sure about those data, but generally speaking, national service is populated by women.
Now, there's an application process. Are you looking for people with special skills? Can anyone who wants to do this apply and be a part of AmeriCorps?
Yes. So the application process is all online for the three AmeriCorps programs. So let me be clear about that. There's an online search tool called My AmeriCorps. And you can go online and find the kind of program that you want to serve in. There are key terms that you can use to, excuse me, to search for the kind of program that you want to be a part of, whether or not it's addressing housing or tutoring or food security. You can look to see what kind of skill sets they need. So each individual program determines what their eligibility criteria are outside of the primary. You know, you need to be a U.S. citizen or a lawful, you know, resident, and then you meet the age requirements. So, but anybody can do AmeriCorps. I've had people who were in their 70s and a couple of, you know, individuals that I personally know of who were in their 80s who did AmeriCorps, and they loved it. So
we're talking with Tina Dumphy, a national service consultant, and she's also the former director for AmeriCorps in Ohio. She's going to stay with us, and coming up, we're going to talk about these proposed cuts to federal funding that AmeriCorps, that is happening to AmeriCorps. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Many government programs were created in America in the 1960s to fight poverty while building and strengthening communities. One of those programs was Volunteers in Service to America, better known as VISTA. A later outgrowth of that program was AmeriCorps, which was created in 1993. However, these programs, these community service programs, are the latest organizations facing cuts to their funding because of the Department of Government Efficiency, better known as DOGE. Joining us now is Kyra Eskate, CEO of America's Service Commission, which is a nonprofit representing the 52 governor-led state and territorial service commissions, including AmeriCorps. Welcome to All Sides, Kyra.
Thank you, Amy. Great to be here with you today.
And also, Tina Dumphy is still with us, a national service consultant, and she's also the former director for AmeriCorps in Ohio. Thanks again for staying with us, Tina.
Sure thing. Nice to see you, Kyra.
Likewise, Tina.
All right. Well, Kyra, in your position, you must be hearing from people all over the country wanting to know what's happening with federal funding. What is this latest news of the termination of grants at the federal level due to the organizations that you represent?
Yeah, it's devastating, to be honest with you, Amy. So we know that on April 25th, grant termination letters were sent out to AmeriCorps programs across the country. More than 1,000 grant termination letters went out to these programs, and that represents nearly $400 million in grant funding that is immediately terminated. And that's going to impact more than 32,000 service positions across the country, both AmeriCorps members as well as AmeriCorps seniors who also are engaged in service as well. So that is devastating. That's about 41% of all programmatic funding running through the AmeriCorps agency in the current program year. And in on top of that, we know that at least 12 of the state service commissions that we represent, they had all of their programs terminated. So they actually don't have any AmeriCorps members that are going to be able to serve for the remainder of the program year at this point in time. So really, really devastating cuts and really having a profound impact on service across the country as well.
Now, are these cuts impacting future programs, or the cuts were immediate and they impact programs that are happening like right now? Like on April 24th, someone was working and then on April 25th, they weren't.
It's currently operating program. So there is money appropriated by Congress for the upcoming program year, the 25-26 program year, but these grant terminations were immediate for programs that are currently operating.
Now, when you first heard about DOGE months ago, I mean, this came up right after the inauguration in January. Did you worry about programs like AmeriCorps?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the reason for that, I mean, multiple reasons, but during the first Trump administration, the president, he called for the elimination of the AmeriCorps agency in each of his presidential budget requests. So we definitely anticipated that we would see that in a second term. And certainly knowing that AmeriCorps has been a target for many groups, we figured that certainly that DOGE would arrive at some point in time. We didn't know how early in the process, right, that would happen, but we did anticipate that we would see DOGE arrive at the AmeriCorps agency.
Now, AmeriCorps is an independent agency of the U.S. government. That's right at the top of the website. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so they it's independent operated, so they actually do not report to like another federal agency. So in some cases, for example, you know, FEMA reports up through the Department of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. AmeriCorps agency just works directly with the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and does not report to another federal agency.
Okay, and will some states be hit harder than others, or is this across the board, all of every state that has an AmeriCorps program?
So all states were impacted. Some states, as I mentioned earlier, lost their entire portfolio of AmeriCorps programs. Some lost most of their portfolio. And then there are others that I would say probably about half of their portfolio was terminated. So, you know, again, every state was impacted, but the impact of the cuts looks a little bit different state to state. And I would also note, too, that there is no consistency in regards to this. So we see traditionally blue states as well as traditionally red states that lost their entire portfolios. So that's an interesting aspect of this that we weren't necessarily anticipating, but certainly has been the case, again, that we have see both traditionally red and blue states that have been impacted.
That's interesting. Did someone from DOGE go line by line and cross out some and leave some in there? Is that what you mean?
You know, it's interesting. We don't actually know the criteria that they used. You know, there was just this massive list and these grant termination letters went out and no criteria was offered as to how they made that decision. They did say in the termination letters that basically they were these programs are being terminated because they no longer reflected agency priorities. But there has been no notice as to what the change in agency priorities are. So, you know, again, it's a phrase. I mean, we understand that in other grant terminations that have been happening with other agencies, a similar phrase has been used in those terminations, which is basically you're no longer reflecting priorities. That being said, even with that statement, you know, we've got some education programs that made it through the process and others that did not. We see some conservation environmental programs that made it through and others did not. So again, there's no real rhyme or reason that we've been able to identify at this point in time as to why some programs made it and others did not through this process.
Tina, let's bring you back into the conversation. We spent the first segment talking to you about the history of VISTA and AmeriCorps. You've done a lot of work in Ohio when it comes to programs like this. What comes to mind for you when you heard about these funding cuts?
You know, just the loss to the communities and to the organizations where the VISTA or the AmeriCorps members serve, or even the Senior Corps volunteers. You know, many times the reason people apply for a grant from the corporation or from AmeriCorps is because they need the help, right? Mm-hmm. Or they have a new program that they want to effectuate in the community and they don't have the resources to do that. And so this will stop, you know, a lot of programs from happening in communities. And that's really, really tragic. And in addition, as Kyra said, you know, the AmeriCorps members will not have the opportunity to serve, to give back to their community, to, you know, become engaged, get some professional development skills training, and then also to earn that education award and to, you know, further their own future. So it's really tragic that as Kyra said, there's just no rhyme or reason to what the kinds of programs that have been cut. And I just think about all the kids that won't get tutored, you know, all of the parks that won't necessarily be maintained that people appreciate. So it's just tragic. I think it's we're at a real inflection point here. And it's rather frightening for me. So, yeah.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the uncertain future of AmeriCorps and its grants and programs this hour. With Kyra Esgate, CEO of America's Service Commission, which is a nonprofit representing 52 governor-led state and territorial service commissions that includes AmeriCorps, and also Tina Dumphy, a national service consultant. She's also the former director of AmeriCorps in Ohio. I wanted to ask, which either one of you, are there specific programs in Ohio that lost their funding? You know, you mentioned students not being tutored or parks not being maintained. Is there anything in Ohio you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in on that. So there are 17 programs that were terminated in Ohio, and many of those were education programs. We also see a couple of environmental programs, and then one that was working in kind of what we call the Healthy Futures space, which is really focused on nutrition services for young folks. So, you know, it's pretty devastating. The Serve Ohio, which is the State Service Commission in Ohio, they had 29 programs for the 24-25 program year. And again, 17 of those have been terminated. So that is, you know, hundreds of service members. So I believe more than 300 members that we're currently serving have lost that service opportunity as a reflection of these grant termination letters.
Do you have any sense that private donors are going to step up and help in the situation? Or is this that, do you think that the program is just gone? I mean, is this a poof situation?
Yeah, we do know that in many states, state service commissions are working with the state government to see if there may be state resources that can step in to help with these programs in the short term. Also knowing that conversations are happening with philanthropy to see if there can be some additional investment from philanthropy in these programs. You know, national service programs generally do have a lot of investment from philanthropy. So hopefully, you know, that can ramp up as well. And certainly we know that we've been having conversations with national philanthropists and there is interest in stepping in on that in the short term. There still is hope that these programs will move forward in the upcoming program year with the federal funds that have been appropriated by Congress. But also we just have to see how that's all going to unfold as we recognize that it's our understanding that DOGE is still at the agency right now.
Okay, so you would have to have Congress still continue to appropriate the funding, right?
They have, and the FY25 appropriations bill that was signed into law in March did appropriate money for the 25-26 program year. So the agency at this point in time needs to complete the grant making process, and then that would allow for programs to operate 25-26. So there could be a scenario certainly where programs that were terminated would have the opportunity to operate in the 25-26 program year. But again, we're just kind of in a wait and see mode about how that might all unfold at this point in time. So, and again, I think the other thing with this as well is that if you are a program operating in the 24-25 program year, are you going to feel confident enough that you want to move forward even if you are awarded a grant in 25-26? You know, the instability of all of this, could this grant termination happen again? You know, that I think that's something that we know that a number of organizations around the country have already said, you know what, like this is too This is too hard for us to navigate right now. So even though we really believe in AmeriCorps, we aren't necessarily going to move forward with AmeriCorps.
Hmm. Can you tell us about the National Emergency Fund for AmeriCorps members that your organization is launching? What is the plan with that?
Yeah, we're hoping to get that actually officially launched this week and the next day or so. So this is a member emergency assistance fund. So basically, AmeriCorps members that were removed from service, they can apply for up to $500 in transition support. So again, we know many of them, you know, this is nothing of their doing. They did nothing wrong. They were just being removed from service. And for many of them, you know, the ability to find an additional position or, you know, a job like that's going to take some time for them. And so we wanted to be able to provide a little bit of financial support for them to help them as they navigate all of that. You know, $500 won't necessarily go that far, but we think, you know, it can help with rental assistance or, you know, certainly food, anything to kind of help those members with the transition. So we have opened that up for fundraising. We have over $35,000 has been donated to that fund at this point in time. And again, members can start to apply for that assistance hopefully later this week.
Can we talk for a minute about the federal employees who were running the program? I mean, I assume that there were people working at the federal level to distribute these grants, you know, behind the scenes, running the website, you know, all that stuff. Are they all I know some were put on, what was it called? Not a leave of absence, but I can't think of the word. They were put on administrative leave. That's the word I'm thinking of. Are they all on administrative leave? Is there still a department?
So there are still federal employees there, a little over 100. So heading into this, the agency had about 600 employees-ish, I'll just say ish, trying to get the right number there. But 85% of them have been put on some form of administrative leave at this point in time. So there are about 115 or so employees that are still there, and they are spread through various parts of the agency at this point in time. But, you know, it's pretty devastating cuts, and certainly, you know, those are the folks that are running the grant making processes, they're issuing the grant awards, they're doing program support and monitoring, all of those types of activities, certainly. So the agency's capacity is quite diminished at this point in time.
Yeah. Tina, do you want to jump in here? Have you talked to federal employees who are on administrative leave?
I have. And, you know, they were given the opportunity, like so many of the other employees at other federal agencies where DOGE came in, to take a deferred resignation opportunity. And some of them have taken that, and, you know, and then others got a reduction in force notice. And, you know, from what we know currently, those employment, their employment will end June 24th, I think is the date, right, Kyra? So, I mean, you know, I think, you know, this is a cascading effect, you know, between the unemployment of those federal employees down to the AmeriCorps programs, down to the AmeriCorps members. And it's just, I think it's going to be a deluge that's going to hit communities and these individuals relatively soon. And, but, you know, our hearts are out with our colleagues and my former colleagues at the corporation or AmeriCorps. And I know that they have a lot of hope. You know, that we'll be able to survive this, because there are, Kyra will probably talk about some of those efforts, but there are efforts, you know, to fight for the funding and to fight for the agency.
Yeah, that was my next question. Some organizations are suing, saying Congress appropriated the money. We should get the money that Congress had already appropriated. Is your group in on that, Kyra?
So we have been helping to support, you know, and provide background for those lawsuits. So there's three lawsuits right now out there. So one that is being driven by attorneys general in several states. There's also a couple of governor's offices that have signed on to that suit. There's another one that's been filed by the union for the federal employees that work at the agency. And then there's another one that was just filed that is focused on nonprofits that had received grant terminations. A number of them have banded together and have also filed a lawsuit. So there are a number of lawsuits that are out there. The union lawsuit, there is expected to be a hearing regarding that lawsuit later this week. With the AG's lawsuit, they filed a motion yesterday, actually, and so hoping to have a hearing on that lawsuit in the near future as well. So, I mean, I think that's certainly a positive piece here to try to, like, put a stop to this. I think the challenge is right now, unfortunately, is that, you know, for most of the programs across the country that receive those termination letters, they are releasing their members. And so, you know, even if we get a temporary restraining order of some sort, either for the staff and or for the AmeriCorps members themselves that are serving, you know, people are going to maybe already move on, right? And not be interested in coming back and not feeling that stability there, or, you know, just kind of like, yes, I'm really committed to service, but this is not the path forward for me, kind of thing as well. So, you know, we're hoping that those hearings proceed very quickly, and that there could be some stay. I mean, in these, especially in the grant terminations, as well as the employees' release, as Tina mentioned, you know, June 24th is the date for those that receive the reduction in force letters. But again, things, you know, people may move on too. So,
yeah,
we're hoping things move forward pretty quickly.
Well, and I can also see that you won't have, like, a bench of people applying, right? Because if they're hearing in the news that AmeriCorps' funding is being threatened, and you're a graduating senior who had planned to do a year of service before, you know, going on to the next thing, you might be a little bit hesitant to commit to that, right?
Absolutely. And that is our fear. That is our fear. And usually this time of year is when most programs are doing their recruitment, right? So this is also a challenging situation for programs that, you know, even didn't receive the grant termination letters, like, you know, how are they moving forward with their recruitment plans? And, you know, when will programs actually be able to start for the upcoming program year? All of those things are definitely in flux right now. And so that's challenging for everyone.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to just stay updated on it and see what happens, especially with the lawsuits. That was Kyra Esgate, CEO of America's Service Commission, a nonprofit that represents the 52 governor-led states and territorial service commissions and includes AmeriCorps. Thank you for joining us today on All Sides.
Thank you.
And staying with us is Tina Dumphy, National Service Consultant and former Director of AmeriCorps in Ohio. After the break, we're going to focus more on some of the work by VISTA and AmeriCorps here in Ohio. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This year marks the 60th anniversary of Volunteers in Service to America, better known as VISTA. In 1993, AmeriCorps grew out of VISTA, which once promoted itself as the toughest job you'll ever love. That job is becoming even tougher due to DOGE cuts. We are learning more about AmeriCorps this hour, while the future for some of the programs and federal funding remains uncertain. We're joined now by Deb Cunningham, Cleveland Site Manager for Notre Dame Mission Volunteers, an AmeriCorps National Direct Program. And she's a former VISTA Manager and Program Manager for AmeriCorps in Ohio. Welcome to All Sides, Deb.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And still with us is Tina Dumphy, a National Service Consultant. She's also the former Director of AmeriCorps in Ohio. And Deb, you are a former member of VISTA in Youngstown. I believe that's where you got your start with all of this VISTA and AmeriCorps. Can you tell us what you did there?
Sure. So I was part of the Obama administration's Strong Cities, Strong Communities program. And we were tasked with creating a community hub at an elementary school in Youngstown. This particular elementary school was chosen because it had the largest number of students who were within walking distance of the school. And so myself and two other VISTA partners created a community hub at this school using what's called a Promise Neighborhood model. So over the course of about a year and a half, we leveraged partnerships with 50 odd different cross-sector partners throughout our local community, some of which have nationally known names like the United Way of Mahoning Valley, as well as grassroots nonprofits in the area. And basically what we did was we brought services to the students in the school, to their families, and to the surrounding community.
Now, you currently work with Notre Dame Mission. It's a social justice and community empowerment organization. It receives grant money from AmeriCorps. Before you tell us about what you do, was Notre Dame Mission one of the ones that kept the funding, or did you lose the funding?
As of right now, we still have funding. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. But can you tell me what Notre Dame Mission does in your area?
Sure. So actually, Notre Dame Mission Volunteers is a faith-based organization, and we have sites all across the country. So I'm actually the site manager for Cleveland, but we do have sites in Youngstown, but we have them on the West Coast in Watsonville, California, in Southern California. We have folks on the East Coast as well, Texas. We have a number of sites throughout the country. And our organization is focused primarily on education-based performance measures or helping people with education needs. So that includes students ages, you know, K through 12. We also work with adults who, for any number of reasons, may be re-entering the workforce. So we help them with workforce development, setting goals, and we do what is called direct service. So our members work directly, either one-on-one or in small groups, with these students or adults, helping them to achieve their education goals.
Now, Tina Dumphy, you're a national service consultant. And whenever Deb said that her organization happens to be one of the ones that kept the AmeriCorps grant money, you kind of made a little, like, knock on wood kind of thing here on Zoom. Yeah. And so, I mean, what do you make of it whenever we said that there's 29 programs in Ohio, 17 of them lost money, the others kept it? Could you see any rhyme or reason for how the money was stayed or go?
No, I would echo exactly what Kyra had said about these cuts. It was, you know, at first I started thinking, well, maybe they would be ones that would be education focused or environmentally focused, or, as she mentioned, blue or red states, but they're, I couldn't see a through trend for any of the cuts. And, but the program that Deb is actually working with right now is what is called a national direct. So they have a national footprint rather than a state focused footprint. Mm. So I don't know if those actually survived more so than the state based programs, but it's really a mystery. And I do, you know, I kind of knocked on my head in lieu of knocking on wood. Because, you know, just based on what we know about how DOGE has operated in other federal agencies, just because we've had one round of cuts doesn't mean that it's necessarily over. And that is my biggest fear, is that there are additional cuts coming.
And your work as a consultant, have you worked with organizations to help them diversify their funding so they're not so reliant on federal money? Is that even possible? Or is it just such a government program that that's just where the majority comes from?
I think that's a really good question. You were talking about that with Kyra earlier. And I think if you think about just the volume of federal government funding that was cut, $400 million, that would be a huge ask to ask for private foundations and other philanthropic institutions to step in. And as Kyra said, you know, AmeriCorps and VISTA and all the programs are required to come up with a certain level of match anyway. So I don't know that there would be the ability of the philanthropic or local government or state government to step in, because they are also facing cuts and threats of, you know, reduced funding from the federal government.
And Deb, the Notre Dame Mission volunteers, if you were to lose your funding, you know, in another round or next year, what would be missing? What would not happen without the federal funding?
Well, I will echo what Tina said. I mean, we do have some funding outside of the federal funding, but that would drastically reduce the number of people that we are able to serve. Our organization actually started without the support of AmeriCorps, so, and this is just a speculation on my part, but I can see it going back to something similar to how it started, which with a much smaller presence. We're actually run by the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur, and they have always had an education focus. And so I don't see their mission changing. I see that that focus still being, you know, their mission, but without the AmeriCorps support, it would look very different than how it does now. So fewer folks being served, and a much smaller organization.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the uncertain future of AmeriCorps programs after an announcement of federal funding cuts. And you're hearing from Deb Cunningham, a former VISTA manager and program manager for AmeriCorps in Ohio. And Tina Dumphy is a national service consultant. She's also the former director of AmeriCorps in Ohio. Deb, can you tell me about the people like you and the people you work with? What kind of everyone's different, but what qualities do you tend to see in people who become involved in AmeriCorps and VISTA programs? What type of people are gravitate toward that?
In the most simplest of terms, these are people who have a heart for service. These are people who, without AmeriCorps, are already engaged and involved in volunteering in their communities, in their churches, and other faith-based organizations. Without AmeriCorps, they would still be helping other people, even if it were just in an unofficial or not an organized way. You know, people who help other people in their neighborhood, the people who watch out for the elderly in their neighborhood who live alone and who knock on their door to check and make sure, you know, that they're okay and that they have food, things like that. So I think regardless of political affiliation, of religious affiliation, and I've seen, you know, I've managed a number of members and worked with a number of nonprofits over the last 10 years. But the volunteers and the applicants who apply for volunteers, you know, to be in AmeriCorps are not doing it for the living allowance, which isn't a lot. The education award is definitely an incentive, but even without it, you know, these people are, I mean, Fred Rogers is a huge hero of mine. And he says, you know, when there's times that you see things that are happening that are scary, look for the helpers. The AmeriCorps members and the people who are involved in the AmeriCorps programs are these helpers. Hmm.
What's the usual length of commitment? Do you see people just staying with you in a program like yours for 1 year, or do they come back again?
It varies. I would say probably the majority, but by a slim margin, serve 1 year. And there's a number of reasons for that. Sometimes they find employment that's somehow related to a service-oriented, nonprofit, faith-based government position. Sometimes, you know, it is hard to survive on that living allowance. So, you know, out of necessity, some folks have to move on to employment, even though they would like to, you know, complete their service year. We do have quite a few who stay on for another year. Anything more than two is rare. Not that it doesn't happen, but the way the AmeriCorps program is set up, AmeriCorps members are permitted to earn an education award for the equivalent of 2 full-year service terms. So sometimes that second year and having that incentive, you know, as the education award is enough for some members. And some members use that education award to go on and get additional education. Sometimes they use it to repay student loans. I personally will tell you that I was enrolled in the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, and as a combination of my ability to get that award as an AmeriCorps VISTA and to serve in the nonprofit world, I was able to get my loans forgiven. So it is a huge incentive for a lot of members to try to get that maximum education award benefit.
And since you are a program manager, Deb, have you heard from other programs in Ohio that did receive the cuts? Because there's 29 total, 17 were cut. That means 12 were not. So you're one of the 12. Do you know of people who had to stop their program?
I don't personally. I think Tina and I actually have had a conversation about this. So I am actually fortunate in that the organization that I worked for, where I was an AmeriCorps VISTA program manager, survived the cuts. And my organization also survived the cuts. Although I should add that we are partnered with a source of funding in California for our sites that did get cut. So I, when you asked the question, I forgot about that. So we were partnered with California Volunteers. And so our sites in California did lose members. So that was a very sad thing for our staff out there and for the members out there. Although I will say one of the nice things that the organizations that we were partnered with out there, not all, but a great number of our members in California were absorbed by the organizations where they were serving and are now employed by them. So I think that's just a testament to the great work that our volunteers were doing and the fact that the organizations were very grateful to have them and to try to help out. Their service terms end at June 30th. So it's, you know, a short-term obligation, but we were very grateful for that for our California members. But I do know of one other national direct program that was impacted. And, you know, I mean, it's there is no clear-cut criteria for how this happened. And I think the members, the way that they're being informed, is very sudden, unexpected, and there's just a sense of loss and confusion about it all.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today. We've been talking with Deb Cunningham, a former VISTA manager and a current program manager for AmeriCorps in Ohio, and she works with the Notre Dame Mission Volunteers in the Cleveland area. And I also want to say thank you to Tina Dumphy, a National Service Consultant, and she's a former director for AmeriCorps in Ohio. Thank you both for joining us today. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Tina.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
And you've been listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jurevich. I'd like to say thank you to our staff, Senior Producer Marcus Charleston, Producer Aaron Esmont-Rabinowitz, our student producers Chris Corcoran, David Stein, Iza Huck, and Colin Simpson. Board operation by Chris Johnston and Cameron Howard, and video production by The Ohio Channel. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.